exact thoughts when I found him on Facebook, friended him, and waited for the confirmation. I waited that whole night for some message that may be read, "My little lamb, the Lord toldeth me to waiteth for you, and I am like a deer panting for water over your profile picture." He never said anything, though. He just accepted the friend request. And then I stumbled onto photos of him with barely any clothes on. And I am pretty sure he likes guys now, so I guess I'm not his type after all. Our love story died hard. At the orientation for the service year the week earlier, they'd asked us to write out our faith journeys and share them with the group of 26. A faith journey is basically all the left and right-hand turns a person took to find God and how it changed the way they were after that first encounter. We all came into the program for our own reasons, but I think we all probably wanted a lot of the same things, just in different orders. Some wanted to get away. Others wanted another year to figure things out. Most of us wanted dirt beneath our fingernails to know we were doing good work that really mattered. A lot of us wanted to know the face and the calloused hands of a God we'd heard of for so many years. Whether we'd found him pent up in a children's Bible stories or modern-day religion, it was time to take it a step further and ask our questions upward. How do you move, God? And how do you dance? And tell me about those angels. And what were you thinking when you knitted a thing like me? God took on so many shapes and forms in that room as people took turns sharing their stories throughout the week. To some, he seemed to be standing at every street corner and intersection. Others compartmentalized him and only let him into some areas of their lives. In some testimonies, he whispered and stayed a bit quiet. In other stories, he boomed with a vengeance. Mind you, the God of my mind always resembled Mr. Clean, so much as I tried to block out the image, this God with bushy white eyebrows, blaring blue eyes, and a clean white tee showed up in every story that was shared within that circle. When someone new stood up to read their story, I pictured the Mr. Clean version of God lounging back in his heavenly lawn chair, knocking back pink lemonade, and snorting over who we painted him to be with our words. I pictured him shaking his head and fist-pumping when the stories got good and he got to play all the right hero parts. I imagined him jotting notes and highlighting sections about things he'd need to fix in some of us. I saw him shedding egg-sized tears when his own creations damaged one another. I pictured him blushing a bit when we said lovely things and used constant kind words the day we asked him to stick around. The day when we really, really meant it. Some of the stories were pretty and compact. Some you could barely pay attention to because you dwelled on the teller's shaky voice and fidgeting hands. I was drawn to the ones that didn't resolve well, that still had holes and threads left unknotted, because maybe that is how I felt about my own faith, like it was half finished, like it was just beginning. The Bronx community was the last to share our stories, so while other people from the program would go off to bed after a long day or congregate in hotel rooms to get to know one another better, I kept finding myself down at the hotel lobby computers beside businessmen checking their emails while I tried to wrestle God down onto the page. I wanted people to believe what I was saying. I wanted to believe the words myself. But I just kept laying my hands against the keys every time I went to type and thinking, what if I don't really know you? What if I am just writing a bunch of lies so that these strangers will think I've actually found you? Found is a funny word. What I actually found when I sat down to write out my story was memories of myself swirling in the middle of the Christian-based mind control cult I had gotten involved with in college. One that is banned across different cities and college campuses.